اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يمه.
ويلكم يا مصطفى. ويلكم.
Very fortunate indeed on مركز صحابه, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, in that you know all our guests are very dedicated to their segments, and alhamdulillah Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam is on a tour. And he's busy visiting certain areas in the Gauteng region. But alhamdulillah, he agreed to answer a few questions which I sent to him, and he sent back to me. So, you know, these are some of the questions I asked him. And I told him, you are on a fact-finding mission in Gauteng. What is it all about? And secondly, I pose a question. It has been discovered that the Motsepe and the Ramaphosa spouses are on the World Economic Forum board. What are the repercussions? Surely they are doing someone's bidding, and who's bidding? And I think, listeners, you'll know. And the third question I posed to him was, will the old guard in the ANC make way for the younger blood? There is an African culture that old men rule the roost and the youngsters must wait the turn. And fourthly, I asked him, is it true that farm killings are underreported in this country? And one recalls Donald Trump was ready to step in to help the Buros. Yeah, your thoughts. And then finally, the Hindutva Brigade is rearing its tentacles all over the world, causing friction between the Hindu and Muslim communities. And what is the situation in South Africa regarding the Hindutva? What are they trying to do? So, inshallah, we'll be listening to him. Sit back and enjoy.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and shukran for having me on the air. Yes, indeed, we've been visiting Kimberley, the training center for police recruits who are using the military barracks for training purposes, because the South African police services do not have adequate training facilities. We found here is this, first of all, the provincial commissioner for the Northern Cape raised very serious concerns about the high levels of crime, limited resources, particularly with motor vehicles, and more importantly, she indicated on a question from myself that detectives were sitting with between 200 and 300 dockets at a time, each detective. But very importantly, she raised the concern, and remember the MEC for policing or safety and security and transport in the Northern Cape was present. The mayor, of course, was present when we visited the training center. But various officers from the national and provincial departments of the South African Police Services and other role players and CPFs were present. But I think one of the things that was very clear is the impact on taverns and off sales. And we found that in a community of Kimberley, which only has about a population of 80,000, there were almost 200 or just over 200 taverns and off sales, bottle stores and things, which was having a very serious impact on crime. And the next issue was the issue of the Zama Zamas. And there are whole communities of foreign nationals living here. And despite the intervention by the Northern Cape Police Provincial Unit with others, every time they go in there and they have a weekly program and they arrest about 40 of them. And according to them, a week later, they're back in those places. And the numbers keep rising. So there's very little happening. But I think what is clear here is that the problems that people are facing is caused through politics. If you look at the Northern Cape and Kimberley at large, Kimberley has a 68% unemployment rate. Now, surely with a 68% unemployment rate, you must expect the crime to go up. If you've got taverns next to each other, okay, and bottle stores or off sales, as they call them, you must expect the levels of crime to rise. I wanted to know from them what was the contributing factor to a lot of the crime that was committed, and they said it was alcohol related, and next was drug related. And then they have been reported that they have about 120 some odd second-hand scrap dealers in the community, which has given rise to the high levels of cable theft and vandalism as well. Now, and then they said to us there was a further problem, and that was the protest action for non-delivery of services. So you'd see everything that they are experiencing there is as a result of politicians not delivering or doing enough in the in those communities. More importantly, if you look at the issue of the issuing of taverns and bottle store licenses, that is done by the city. Now you have the MEC coming there and talking to us about the problems, but she has the power to do something and put pressure on the mayor of the city not to provide so many licenses and things. So really, I think they're running away from a problem. Then we've also the training center. There's about 1,466 recruits. And we've been told that some of them had gone back and found other jobs out of the 2,000. But more importantly, we had complaints about the conditions there. And yes, they are barrack style. They are actually for the defense force. And because the police department does not have the set facilities, they are using the facilities of the defense. And I mean, they've got about 36 girls or 36 males in each dormitory. And it's got three showers. And can you imagine, you know, it's for me, I think it's totally unacceptable. But again, you know, these are temporary facilities that have been made available by the South African National Defense Force. But we found that amongst the military, there's a lot of discipline. And you're not going to find the same with the South African police services. And each dormitory has got three toilets. So, you know, given the fact that the facilities that you provide for the National Defense Force and they kind of work they are expected to do, their operations, you know, is totally different to the South African police services. However, very little or nothing is going to be done to change that. So what it simply means is that those police trainees are going to have to continue to train and live under the present conditions. And they go through for about 8 or 9 months in any event. That's a sacrifice they're going to have to make. But something that came out very clear, Brother Shafatia, which is a matter of concern for me, because with the almost 1,500 recruits that we sent, I didn't see anybody of color. You know, I think there was just one white in that entire 1,500. There might have been one or two coloreds. I raised it with the Deputy National Commissioner for Support Services, and she says we haven't been getting any applications by the Indian community and other races, and that's the problem. So it's something I think that we're going to need to look into. On the issue of the spouses of both Patrice Motsepe and Cyril Ramaphosa, it is it's a matter for serious concern. There is no doubt about it. When they belong to institutions, organizations like the World Economic Forum, it clearly indicates, for me, it's a conflict of interest. And we do know that Cyril Ramaphosa is a capitalist. Patrice Motsepe is a capitalist. And that is why they've been taking the country in this direction. And if you know that they went recently and the president got 151 billion rand in loans overnight, on his visit to the UK and things. And, you know, so I think, you know, it's very difficult, you know, when you are conflicted to the extent and that you associate yourself with the likes of the United States of America, the UK, France, Germany and things. And then you want to address the socio-economic conditions and transformation in a South African society that have been that have experienced oppression for decades, it makes it very, very difficult. And it is clear that the influence that these spouses will have in the decisions that are taken by both Patrice Motsepe and President Cyril Ramaphosa will impact on South Africa as a whole. And my greatest fear is with the amount of borrowings, which is now gone to 5.5 trillion rand and increasing all the time. And remember, this is just borrowings from national government. We're not even talking about borrowings from local governments and others and state-owned companies and things. So, you know, it's a matter for concern, particularly because it can affect the sovereignty of your country. And you can be held hostage by these countries, particularly those in the West. Your question on the issue of will the old guard in the ANC make way for the younger? But now there's two different ways of looking at it. The question we need to ask is, first of all, are the youth of today or the younger generation of today as committed and dedicated to serve the interest of the masses of this country? You know, we spend a lot of money in this country on education alone. And if you look at TVET colleges, 60% are dropping out in the first year. Look at what we are producing. You know, it reminds me one of the questions I asked at the police training college in Kimberley on the issue of English. And she admitted that some of them were having difficulty in communicating in English, and as far as comprehension is concerned, and things. So it clearly indicates that the quality of education in the country is first of all very poor, and secondly, I think the youth of today, they give us an impression that they also believe that they're entitled to things, and a lot of them today, and if you look at how easily they are manipulated by politicians and political parties, it raises concern whether they are ready to lead the way. The youth are the future of this country, and we should be guiding them, giving them wisdom and direction. But if you find politicians that have been there for a long period of time, and if you look at the ethical conduct and the levels of corruption, looting, maladministration, and the fact that all state-owned companies and government as a whole is failing, infrastructure is crumbling, high levels of crime. You know, you're not setting a good example for these youth of today, the leaders of tomorrow, or the younger generation of leaders that we have. To take South Africa forward. So that's where my concern is. And you are correct in your assumption that the leaders of today, particularly the older generation, who have been used to the idea of staying in political parties, leading them till their death, and we see this all over Africa, that clearly indicates that there's a lot of them in the ANC are not going to make way. But it's the same thing in many political parties, particularly black political parties. They don't know when they must make way for others. They don't know when they must retire, allow others the opportunity of taking the country forward, grooming them, preparing them, parting with wisdom and knowledge and direction. So it's not happening, and that's making it very difficult to identify, the younger generation and prepare them for the future. On the issue of farm killings, you know, it's a very difficult one. There has been a lot of attacks on farm owners and farm workers and things. However, you know, one has been trying to establish whether this is orchestrated, pre-planned, in order to drive farmers out of their land. Or is it just an act of criminality as a result of the remote areas and the lack of security in those areas where these farms are located? And you know, we've had some horrendous killings that have taken place, very brutal indeed. But there has never been any indication thus far that this could be, you know, pre-planned, or it could be racist attacks, or it's an attempt to drive people out of their farms and things at this stage. So I don't really believe that they are underreported, but there is no doubt it's alarming. But if you compare it to the levels of crime in South Africa, then our view is this, that it's not necessarily the farm killings that is underestimated or underreported in the country, but it is the levels of crime. And I can tell you, lots and lots of people that are victims of crime don't even bother to go to the police stations and even report it, because they're not expecting anything to be done about it. So it's a serious problem that you don't report it, because then you don't get the correct statistics, and then you can't deal with it. But what's the purpose of going and reporting it if you're not going to get any action against it? And that's the problem we're sitting with. So from a farm killing perspective, we think they are reported. We don't think they're underreported. But it's a matter that needs attention, because otherwise it's going to affect food security in South Africa. Well, yes, indeed. You know, you know what is happening in India. And if you notice that in South Africa, and I've also raised this, you know, coincidentally, let me tell you that I have taken a new stance, particularly on the Palestinian issue, that on every debate I participate on every day, I start my debate on talking about Palestine. So if it is like the other day, it was about forestries and fisheries, and I then raised the issue of the number of, that's 2.5 million trees that were uprooted. Most of them were olive trees, which the Palestinians rely on for food. And so, you know, so when it is to do with justice, I spoke about detention without trial. There's over 1,000 Palestinians there. And the ACDP particularly stood up and tried to oppose what I was doing, and it was overruled by the chairperson and with other political parties shouting them down. Now, but strange enough, the very same ACDP does nothing about the Hindutva brigade in India, who is oppressing the Christians and Muslims, you know, and the lower caste people there. And they do nothing. They've never said a single thing about it thus far. And so coming back to this issue of between the Hindu and Muslims, the chaos and mayhem that's being created by this government, remember, it's a similar thing that's happening in South Africa. Political parties are dividing on racial grounds. Okay, those that believe that because the blacks are the majority, let's create racial tension, because when we create racial tension, blacks will start loving us and they'll start supporting us and voting for us. And you make blacks believe that Indians, colored whites, have been stealing everything from, taking it away from you, taking what is yours. So I think it's a very important point for us to realize that in different parts of the world, including South Africa, politicians particularly use different means, ways of trying to achieve their selfish interest. And that's the problem we are having. So in India, because of the Hindus being the majority, and they can't, you know, and the Ummah has been performing extremely well. So what do? They go out there and they create racial divide. It's exactly what the white man did here. While the white man introduced it here, I think the black man in South Africa has mastered the art of that. So the problem that exists, it's politicians that want to divide so that you can maintain power, you know, and you can win election. That's generally what is happening. But in South Africa, unfortunately, there has never been really any tension between the Hindu community and the Muslim community and the Christian community. Although I can tell you that I did receive a call from somebody that I knew very well that was upset when I mentioned of what was happening in India. But I have to do what I have to do. If it's human rights, it's human rights. But very importantly, I do hope that it does not spread in South Africa to the extent that we start attacking each other and things. I don't think we can actually afford that. But also remember, Brother Shepherd, that Islam is a threat. These people regard Islam as a threat. They regard Muslims as a threat. And if you look at the latest statistics, what, over 2.2 billion people are now Muslims in the world. And that alone, and the predictions are that many, many countries will be Muslim controlled. Inshallah, we're going to be getting control of many of these countries. And I hope this time they will do the right thing so that we don't lose control of these countries. So, yeah, that's basically where we are. But I think, lastly, I think, you know, I just want to urge our people that let us not fall into that trap of racial divide or divide on religious grounds. And let's look at it from a humanity perspective. And let's respect people. Let's respect people for who they are. And because we have to live side by side, whether we like it or not. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan
marhaba. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.